The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO. The magnificent messengers and the perfect prophets. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we're on a beautiful journey covering the lives of some amazing, amazing messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. And today, we're going to deal with somebody who is truly magnificent. But before we do, let me share with you a blessing of Durood-e Pak. Would you want the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal to be descending upon you all day long, wherever you went, whatever you did? How amazing would that be? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you're basking in the shade of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Durood-e Pak upon me once, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Now think about this. Every time you recite Durood-e Pak, 10 mercies descend. So the one who spends his days and nights continuously reciting Durood-e Pak upon Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is continually basking in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. The blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal have been showered upon him. So try and make it a habit. Whenever you have a moment, whenever you have time, try and keep the tasbih, the beads in your hand, the counter on your finger, and keep reciting Durood-e Pak. Sallu ala al-Habib,
sallallahu ta'ala,
ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Now, welcome my two beautiful guests, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, as per normal now, Alhamdulillah, both of them have blessed us again. On my right is Shiraz Bey, Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh. Khairiyat, Tik Tak?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. And on this side, on the side of my heart, as they say, is Bisharat Bey, MashaAllah. Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh.
Wa Alaikum Salaam Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Now today, viewers of Madni Channel, we have a magnificent messenger like none other. In fact, this messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal was so amazing that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to talk about them. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to admire them. And Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved them and always referred back to them. Subhanallah. Let me introduce this amazing and magnificent messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, this perfect prophet, with this story that the scholars say. There was an amazing prophet, and he was gifted with a lot of cattle and wealth. And in those days, you didn't have money, you didn't have bank balances. Your wealth was counted from what you had, the property you had and the cattle you had. So he had lots of goats and like sheep and cows and camels and everything else. But he spent his days and nights worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. One day, Allah Azza wa Jal said, look at this servant of mine. He's worshipping me day and night. And the angel said, Ya Allah, no doubt that is true. He is your friend and he is worshipping you day and night. But you've given him everything. So that's why he's doing this. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, go and test my Khalil, my friend. So the angel came. And as Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was passing by, the angel started to recite the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And some scholars write that it was Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Whereas others, they say that it was the Tasbih Tarawi. Upon hearing this, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam became mesmerized. He loved the sound of it. So he quickly looked, where was this sound coming from? He found this angel in the form of a human being. He said, what was that you were reciting? You were making the zikr of my Lord. You were making the zikr of my Allah Azza wa Jal. Recite it again. The angel said, in the form of a man, he said, what will you give me? I want something in return for reciting it. Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, he had a huge flock of sheep. He said, I'll give you half of these. So he gives him half. They start to recite. He recites it again and again. Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is overtaken by the zikr of Allah azza wa jal. He says, recite again. The reply comes, what will you give me? He says, you can have the rest of the sheep. Just recite it again, it's so beautiful. He recites the zikr of Allah azza wa jal. He gives him the rest of the sheep. Then, the third time, he says, recite again. He says, but you've got nothing left to give me. You've given me all your stock, all your cattle. Now what are you going to give me? He said, well, you're going to need somebody to look after all these sheep. Just take the name of my Lord, my Allah Azza wa Jal, and I will be your servant, and I will look after these for you. And again, the angel recites, and Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is ready to look after the sheep. The angel then says, O Khalid, O friend of Allah Azza wa Jal, this was a test. And alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, you have passed it with flying colors. My dear viewers of Madni Channel, today we're going to talk about the magnificent, one of the most magnificent messengers you will ever come across. A lot of mainstream religions look and have a honor and respect for Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. This magnificent messenger was truly amazing. I'm going to move to Shiraz Bay and ask him to tell us some beautiful couplets. And the glorious Quran is full of ayah mubarakas and stories, and the hadith mubarakah has mentioned many, many times different things about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So let's move to our learned scholar and see what he can do to enlighten our hearts and minds about this amazing Prophet of Allah. Jee Shiraz Bay.
Beautiful Harun Bay. In that time, so this was around 1000 years after Hazrat Saleh alayhi salam. Okay. More or less. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Remember we spoke last time that times have changed. Before, the people were very arrogant, they were strong, resourceful, they worshipped idols. And because of this, it led to their destruction. They were ungrateful of the wujud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A prophet was sent to them, they did not listen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. Now what we have, this is, the situation is different. Is that these people, now we had the person called Namrud bin Kin'an, and what he was a king. In some text is mentioned he lived for 800 years, and the first 400 of them years he was the king.
And he's mentioned in general books of history as Nimrod.
Nimrod. Yes. So he was a king, and people would enter into his castle, into his presence, and they would have to do sajda. They would have to do sajda in his court. And so this was the state of the people. They would, you know, follow, they would basically follow stars, look at different sightings in the skies to work out what's going to happen in the future, predictions. So he had a massive kingdom. He was one of the kings that ruled the entire, wherever there was people on the earth, they ruled the entire earth. Oh. And so he was a very a tyrant as well. He was very cruel to people. So once in his palace, he fell asleep. And what he sees is that there's a star in the skies. But this star, when it became present, it has dominated the light of the other stars that were there before.
The sun and the moon.
The sun and the moon.
And even dominated. So now he woke up, he was scared, like, What is this? Because they used to believe in stars, and they used to follow, and they had full yakin in these theories.
Didn't they worship? They worshipped stars as well. So you had some people who were actually worshipping stars, some worshipping idols, and then Nimrud himself claimed to be God, and so you had some worshipping him. So the state, and I think you mentioned very beautifully at the end of the last episode, that up until now, we had an era where people were worshipping idols. And here you can see that transition where we've gone from idol worship, which was still there, and worshipping the stars, to actually worshipping, well, these kings claiming that they were God.
God, yeah. So he's seen this star. He's gone to a person who he interprets dreams. specifically the stars and everything. And he said, look, there's going to be a person who will be born very soon, and he's going to take over your kingdom, and he's going to put your kingdom to the ground. Upon which he commanded everyone, so all the husbands and wives, to
separate.
There was separation between them for a certain amount of time.
It was in that particular year that they said, this is that particular year in which this child is going to be born. So not only just separating the parents, but kill the children as well.
Allahu
Akbar. And then,
so he had all newborns murdered.
All newborns murdered, yeah.
Because his, what did he call them? Fortune tellers?
Fortune.
His fortune tellers had told him that there's going to be a child born who would lead to your destruction of your kingdom. So he's had all the children murdered and separated husband and wife so that no children would be born.
Then they give him further bad news as well. Even though he's trying to put this, implement this plan, that they're saying that the child is already in the womb of the mother.
Allah.
So this is troubling him even further. So he's had the dream in which he's seen what Shiraz Bhai mentioned in terms of the stars, and they've interpreted that for him. So he's worried over that. Then he tries another plan, and then they say to him, well, you know, it's gone one step further now. So he's even more worried.
So what happened was the Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's mother, she was very young, and while she was carrying the child, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, because she was young, Allah made it appear that she is not physically carrying a child. And so you couldn't really tell. And then a certain period of time, her father made a cave. So she left and migrated towards a cave in fear that these people, these tyrants, would kill my child. So he was born basically in Iraq, in Babylon, inside this certain cave. From there, so basically, Hazrat Ibrahim, at that time when they, so this was a period later where the astrologer said to Namrud Nimrod, the child is already present in the world, and he is in the womb of the mother.
Stomach of his mother, yeah.
Stomach. And so Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was born, and this became the start of the end of Namrud's kingdom.
Allahu Akbar.
This became the start of the end of.
So Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, because at that time, obviously Namrud is having children murdered. He separated, people, and any woman who's pregnant, he's had the child murdered, etc. But Allah Azza wa Jalla's Qudrat, His greatness, that Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is born, and he's left in the cave, isn't he?
It's mentioned, so some scholars say 7 years. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was in this cave, and some say 17 years. So 17 years of his initial life was inside this cave.
Allahu Akbar. You know, one thing that, just to put it into context, Shiraz Bhai, we the last magnificent messenger we covered was Hazrat Salih alayhi salam and Qawmi Thamud. And you said at the beginning that it was about 1,000 years after that Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam bless the earth. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, if you trace back the lineage, it goes back to Hazrat Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. And the other beauty of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is that every single prophet who came after him came from his lineage. That is how amazing this magnificent messenger was. This prophet is just truly amazing.
That's why he's called Abul Anbiya.
Abul Anbiya, the father of the prophets.
Subhanallah. What I'm talking about his name, his name Ibrahim. I think it's in Hebrew. It's Abun Rahim in Arabic. Yani the merciful father.
Allahu Akbar.
The merciful
Subhanallah.
Father.
Subhanallah. That's beautiful.
So even his name and then his lineage, they're all pure. The pure meanings, pure lineage. We're going to get into the stories.
Mufti Sahib writes actually, in different kind of mainstream religions, the monotheistic religions, you refer back to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and there's different names, Abraham, Ibrahim, Ibrahim. There's different kind of interpretations, but they all come back to the same thing. And the meaning of that word, Ibrahim, is the Merciful Father. So what a beautiful name. I mean, I'd never thought about it. You know, till I came across this, I never thought about what it meant. But the Merciful Father, Ibrahim, wow, amazing, amazing. Sorry, I interrupted you.
So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a man of many different characters. Yani he had perfections in his character. When it came to his mercifulness, he's called Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim yani Abun Rahim, the Merciful Father. When it came to giving, you know, generosity, he had four doors on his house. So if a beggar comes, he could choose any door he wants. And this is how generous he was. He was a very hosting.
Yeah, well, the hosting-wise, I mean, there was that famous story where he just would not eat alone. He'd starve for days, but he would not eat alone. And there's that famous story, and it was in one of our Obiyans, actually, where there was a man who came, and Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a musafir, he was a traveler. And Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam called him in, asked his wife Hazrat Sarah radiallahu ta'ala anha to cook some mutton and lamb. It was brought before him, and Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim." And he said, "No, I don't believe in Allah, so I'm not going to read." So Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Well, I was feeding you purely for the sake of Allah, so if you're not going to read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then you can go." And he goes, Hazrat Jibril Amin comes and he says, "Allah asks, why didn't you feed my cousin? Ya Allah, he wasn't mentioning your name." And the reply that was amazing that came back was, "Ibrahim, I know all his life he hasn't called my name, but I've still fed him. You couldn't give him one meal? You couldn't give, I've fed him all my life. You couldn't give him one meal?" So Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam went in search for this person. And the scholars write that he found him and he said, "Come and eat. You don't have to read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim." He said, "Why have you changed your mind?" He goes, "Because the merciful Allah, who as the provider, said, why aren't you feeding him when I've been feeding him all his life, and I know that he doesn't take my name, you couldn't even give him one meal." And at that, the man said, "Now that you've done that, that same creator has put iman in my heart, and now I believe in you and your Rabb as well." This is an amazing
thing. That's a good pearl for the viewers, that whenever we eat or drink, we should always remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us the rizq.
Subhanallah.
It's a deep lesson. Another story regarding his sakhawat was that it was 3 days consecutive. He went out looking for someone to just give them some food.
Allah.
So first day he achieved his purpose. Second day he achieved his purpose. The third day he couldn't. So he went looking for someone to give food to. But he did not find no one. Upon reaching home, there was a person there, very mysterious, unusual. He says, "Who are you?" He says, "Malakul Maut, the angel of death." He says, "Okay, why are you here?" He says, "The God has sent me to tell someone that he is the Khalil."
Allah.
The Khalil. And Mufti Sahib actually writes that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is not Khalil, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his ibadat. He's actually the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his khawat, his generosity.
Allah,
that's why he
did. Yeah.
So now, he said that Allah sent me to go give good news to a certain individual that he is the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, now this was his, how humble he was as well. He says that, "Okay, tell me where this person is. Soon as we find him, I'm going to stay with him for the rest of my life until death takes us apart. If he is the friend of Allah, I want to be in his company as well." Angel of death says, "That person is you."
Allah.
That person is you. And you know, because he was sad, he was like, because he went looking for a person to give food to, but he didn't find no one. And upon this, he was sad. After he heard that he is the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgot his sadness. Because he became Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The hospitality. So, I mean, just to put, I was going to say earlier, put it into perspective. Has this Salih alayhi salam, the Qawm, Thamud is destroyed. To some extent, those with them worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1,000 years roughly go by, and the state of the world has become such that maybe there was some messengers that came in between, but the state of the world was such that now you had worshipping stars, worshipping stones, worshipping idols, worshipping Namrud, you know, and so it was a dire state. And in that state, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is born
Namrud has this dream, but Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is protected. I mean, that it just there's some similarities with Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, to whom we'll come to eventually. But that was a similarity.
You know, in these Abrahamic prophets, there's a lot of similarity. So, like even the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, there's a lot of similarity to the prophets. Yani they even resembled it. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam resembled Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his appearance.
We talked about them being idol worshippers, the people at the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And there's a particular waqia where Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he breaks the idols, and not only breaks them, but at a specific time. So what happens at that specific time is the people, they're going off into the jungles, where they have a particular carnival and they worship the idols, etc. So Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned in the Holy Quran as well. Before they attend this like festival, he announces to the people and he says to them, and I swear, translation from Kanzul Iman, and I swear by Allah, I shall seek to harm your idols after you have turned your backs, yani from your idols, when you go to attend this festival. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he takes an axe, and he goes to their temple and he sees all these small idols and he sees a big one there. So he leaves the big one, and what he does is he breaks all the other small idols. And now, once he's broken them all, he places the axe on the big idol.
On the shoulders of the big one.
On the shoulders of the big
he
one.
He did it.
And then when the people arrive, obviously they open arms. What's happened here? So, because some people remember what Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam advised that what he was going to do. So, you know, they call him and they say, you know, what's happened here? So Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, why don't you ask your idols, you know, the broken one,
or ask the big one,
which has the axe on its shoulder. And obviously the people there, they're dumbfounded, they can't even answer him. And, you know, based on this, then Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he then, you know, advises him and he says, you know, when they ask him, who's done this to our gods? He is indeed unpleasant. Then these people, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he then tells them and he says to them, why don't you ask the big idol who's got the axe on its shoulder, implying that, you know,
maybe the
big one's done it. But the people, obviously, they turn around and they say, well, these idols, they can't speak.
And it's amazing, the glorious Quran says that they realized their foolishness at worshipping idols. And yet they were too stubborn to admit it. So rather than say, well, look, you know, good one, you've got us. And obviously these things don't speak. They said, right, light a fire and let's throw him in.
So in terms of lighting this fire, Zairaki, this is something that's ongoing. And inshallah, Zawajal, we'll get to that. But in terms of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's mentioned in 13 surahs of the Holy Quran, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. And in terms of tabligh, he gave tabligh to his nation and even to his uncle in a very simple manner. Yani going on to you know, his personality, you know, we talked about you know, him being, Alhamdulillah, where people have stopped by and he's being mehman nawazi. His house was situated on, should we say, the main road, where anybody who passed by would stop at the house of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, he used to serve these guests. And imagine his personality now. Alhamdulillah, you know, you're going to get all sorts of people that are passing by. But imagine that nurani chehra, imagine that, you know, that beautiful personality, you know. And at the same time, like if you're serving somebody and you're looking after them, you have to have that personality, because nobody's going to be sitting with you. So this says a lot about Hazrat Sayyidina.
His character was amazing. You know, like there's a lot of things mentioned that he was the first one to wear the pajamas, stitched pajamas. He was the first one, I don't know what they call it in Urdu, but they break up the roti and the poi in the salon.
Kutti dekhana, as they say. I don't know the Urdu, but I know the Pari version of it.
He was
but
the first,
sunnat as well.
Yes, the first one to perform. Is the first one
Sarid,
yes.
I think it's Sarid. Yes, it
first one for his beard to become white.
Allah.
First one for the beard to become. And then So he was, I think he was the first one to put mehndi in his beard as well.
Subhanallah.
To put mehndi in his beard.
But there were two or three things I wanted you to clarify. One was that we hear time and time again mentioned that his uncle who was with him, Azhar, who was who was an idol worshipper. He used to sell idols as well as part of his trade. And yet some people get mistaken about this, and they, because the word in the glorious Quran for father and uncle is the same, so they get mistaken and they say, Nauzubillah, that the father of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was Azhar. Can you just help clarify that?
So basically the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any prophet, right, their father and their entire lineage is pure. This is one thing, is a Shajarai Mubarakah, that their family tree of prophethood has been pure from Adam alayhi salam all the way up until Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one, is a fundamental belief of the Ahlul Sunnah. So now a father of a Nabi is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father was not Azhar. That was actually his uncle. His father was a pure monotheist, one God believing person. Okay. The entire lineage was...
I think that refers to, at one point, Mufti Sahib mentions his father may have been called Tariq.
Yes. So
just to clarify, sorry to interrupt you there, but basically amazing pure lineage coming from Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and an amazing pure lineage coming from Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and again the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the best of creation being born in this lineage. So any suggestion that there was a break just before is just stupidity, because it doesn't make sense. And what the scholars say is Azhar was the uncle, because the word Abu refers to uncle as well.
Yeah.
And actually, if you look at the tafsirs, it actually says that the father of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Muslim, and that their name was Tariq.
Subhanallah. So even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes called certain family members father. That weren't really his father.
Tradition of the Arabs was, especially at that time, that the word Abu referred to uncle. And if you go into the detail of it, actually, what this writes is that where your father had passed away, your uncle stood up and did all the duties of a father, and he looked after you, so he was referred to as your father. So if, say for example, one of us passes away, our brothers will step up and look after our children, and they will call him father, but he's not the father, he's the uncle. And that's what's called in the scholars, right? His intellectual ability though, Shiraz Bey, was truly magnificent, because you're saying he grew up in this cage up until the age of 7 or 17. And what the glorious Quran says, Surah An'am, verse 74. And remember when Ibrahim, translation of Kanzul Iman, and remember when Ibrahim said to his father, paternal uncle, Azhar, what you appoint idols as gods? Indeed, I find you and your people in open error. And likewise, we showed Ibrahim the entire kingdom of the heavens and the earth, and so that he be of those who believe as eyewitnesses. So when it became dark upon him, he saw a star, and he said to Azhar and the people, which is what you were saying, is this my Lord? Then when it set, I do not like things that set. And then when he saw the moon shining, he said again to Azhar and the people, is this my Lord? Then when it set, he said, if my Lord had not guided me, I too would have been one of those astray. Then when he saw the sun, again he said the same thing. This is the biggest of them all. Then when it set, he said, O people, I do not have any relation with whatever you ascribe as partners to him. Look at the intellectual ability to analyze. But not only that, because he had his yaqeen, he's a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we know that the prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla are born prophets. As this Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam says in the cradle, I am a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But look at his ability to explain it. I mean, you don't explain it a better way than that. If people are worshipping the stars, you say, yeah, is this your Lord? And then when it sets, it's set. You worship the moon, because you also have people who worship the moon. You're worshipping the moon? Okay, it's beautiful, look, it's huge. And it sets. Okay, this is the biggest, this is the sun. Okay, this must be the thing that you're worshipping. And then when it sets,
Why are you worshipping that? Why don't you worship the one and only?
SubhanAllah.
What an amazing intellect. As you know, as they say, Ibrahim alayhi salam.
You say that, look at that's the tabligh as well.
Allah.
Very simple and inviting people to Islam as well. He has a debate with Nimrud on a separate occasion where he goes to Nimrud and Nimrud says to him, you know, okay, you know, he's claiming divinity. So he goes, you know, I can give somebody death and I can give somebody life. Yeah. So he gets two prisoners and one
was sentenced to life,
you know, as death. And the other one was going to go free. So what he does is he does it the other way around and he kills one and he sets the other one free. So Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, again, look at his intellect and his way of thinking. And he says to him, okay, well, the sun, it rises in the east and it sets in the west. You at least for one occasion show him that you can get the sun to rise from the west. And that was it. He was dumbfounded. He couldn't answer him. And alhamdulillah, this was his tabligh.
And you make a beautiful point that look at his tabligh at the different angles and how he planned it. Because when it came to those who were worshipping the stars, he said, is that the Lord? Oh, it's set. So he quietened them. Then the moon, then it set, then the sun, then it set. Then the idols, he chops them up and says, the big one did it. Well, he didn't say the big one did it, but he put the axe on the big one's shoulder, yeah? And said, you know, there it is. And
no, he actually did فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ كَبِيرُهُمْ, that the largest one of them done it. فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. He actually did say
it. Is that what he said?
Yeah. So, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Imam Ghazali, when he writes his book, in a certain part, he actually talks about the way Ibrahim alayhi salam used this strategic manner of debating these people. These ayats where he's talking about, okay, Haza Rabbi, is this my Lord? Okay, this one's bigger. When he's using this, is actually a bigger debate behind it. Right? And this is something that I want to, you know, for the viewers to understand, is that he's used simple words. And in the Quran, they are simple, but these, they have such a deep meaning behind it that, and especially for idol worshippers, that, you know, for a God, for you to believe and have faith in a God, there are certain requirements of that God. In Aqidah, there are certain requirements. If that God changes states, deteriorates, okay, that God cannot be the everlasting. Because something that deteriorates, that means one day it will come to a finish as well. Anything that deteriorates will have an ending. So these were certain points, and there's much more points beneath this, where Ibrahim alayhi salam says, okay, it has now descended. There are deeper meanings behind it. So it's not just, okay, it's descended, that's not your God. No, inside this, especially for the people that are listening to this, at that time, where Ibrahim alayhi salam is performing this speech of one sort, this munadhara, or mubahala, you know, any debate with a prophet is called mubahala because you can't win a prophet. A debate with a human is munadhara. So, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam telling them this, there's actually a lot of deep meanings behind this, especially for the people that worship stars, suns, and moons.
And just to clarify, I mean, Allah Azza wa Jal is Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, the ever existing and the self subsisting. So, doesn't deteriorate, doesn't need anything else. If the entire world wasn't in existence, I would say, look, 7.9 billion people on the surface of the earth, if each one of them went down into prostration right now and said Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, it wouldn't make one iota worth of difference to the kibriyai, the greatness, the majesty, and the amazingness of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His might. And if everybody refused to do it, it wouldn't make one iota worth of difference. Allah Azza wa Jalla is totally independent, Allahu Samad. And this is why, and in these ayah mubarakas, it was that you cannot, how can you worship somebody who can't even get rid of a fly if it sits on them? How can you worship somebody or something that is there? So what Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam did, and this is the point that from what Bashar Bhai was saying, came to mind, was when it came to the stars, he negated those. When it came to the moon, the sun, he negated those. When it came to the idols, he negated those. And when it came to Nimrud, I was going to say Firon, that's to come. When it came to Nimrud, then he said, okay, well, Allah gives life and death. And Nimrud says, well, I give life and death as well. He says, well, Allah raises the sun from this side. You raise it from that side. And he was speechless, wasn't he? And this is how amazing the belief of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was. But I want you to cover one other aspect. Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was actually beautiful looking. His Hulya Mubarak, He was one of the most handsome prophets that you can imagine. I mean, you know, anybody who looked at his blessed face was mesmerized by it. Can you describe him?
So, I mean, in one sentence, he resembled the physical appearance of the Prophet.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
I don't know what more I could say.
That is just amazing. So, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam resembled Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation.
Look how I'm saying that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam resembled Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Right. Not the other way around.
Not the other way around.
Because the respect and adab doesn't allow you to.
Because, okay, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, there's five main prophets, okay? Ulul Azam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is one of them, right? But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all messengers. Okay? And, okay, even biologically, even though Hazrat Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came later, he was actually first as well. He was the first, Kuntu Nabijan wa Adamu Bain al-Ruhi wal-Jasad. That I was a messenger before, during the period when Adam alayhi salam was between Ruh and Jasad, yani his soul and his body had not united yet. I was a Nabi even before that as well. So that's, you know, for me to say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he resembled Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not the other way around. There's a reason why I've said that basically, that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, even though biologically Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came later, yes, but in adab, respect, and even not just adab, respect, in terms of our belief, Prophet, he actually...
The nur.
Yes.
So the nur that started from Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam that passed through and passed through Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and all the prophets knew they were carrying that, so Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam knew as well that was the ultimate edition. And then Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, didn't he, that if you want to see, if you want the description of Akhulia Mubarak of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, then look at your sahib, look at the one who's in front of you. This is what he looked like.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a, I think it's a Muslim Sharif, Hadith Mubarakah as well, in the Mufti writes in the book, where he mentions to the Sahaba Ikram alayhim Ridwan that when he went on Mi'raj as well, he met with Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. He describes them, and then he talks about Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he says, from his children, I am the most similar in feature.
Allah,
Subhanallah.
I mean, what better description can you have of anybody in the world than the fact that they resemble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I know that Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is the magnificent messenger, but for him, it is a great description to say that, you know, Huliya Mubarak was like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I want to mention in relation to the ibadats of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. Alhamdulillah, we learned that he was a namazi, and Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he loved worshipping Allah azza wa jal, and he would offer his salah, but you know, he was upset or saddened on one occasion where, you know, he felt that he's offering his namaz, but all these other people are deprived from offering their namaz because they're worshipping other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal sends some blessed angels to accompany Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they pray namaz with Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they stay in his company as well. So look at that, like a message for, you know, the viewers of Madri channel today, and you know that Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, what do we learn? That the Prophet alayhi salam, as well as giving us this message of Islam and bringing monotheism to us over, you know, over time, giving that neki ki dawat, also offered namaz themselves and invited others also to do the same. And where they didn't do that, they felt upset themselves. And we should adopt that sunnah as well, that if we're not offering our namaz, that we should become namazi, and
having said that, you know, there's another incident regarding his ibadat, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, he was basically given the vision of all the seven skies up until the arsh, so he could have a glance at them whenever he wants, and he could see all the seven earths in one glance. He had, so his vision was expanded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a prophet. So now, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he could now see, you know, many miles away, a certain person who is committing a sin.
Allah.
And now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, any dua he asks is accepted. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had deep animosity against sin. You know, he didn't like anyone. You know, like the incident you mentioned, when the person didn't read Allah's name, so he didn't give him food, even though he was the most sakhawat, he was the more, you know. So now him, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, his worship was on a different level. When he seen someone, one is worshipping, right? And one is not worshipping, and then one is being disobedient. There's three different ranks, isn't there? When he seen someone being disobedient, so he said, he made dua, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, show him your punishment. He's not worshipping you. He's mustajab ud-dawat, so Allah answered his prayer. A certain time later, he seen again a certain individual not worshipping Allah, so, well, being disobedient. So he done the same dua, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, show him your punishment. And now the third time he seen someone committing a sin. And before he even made the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to him and said, do not, whatever you're intending, don't make that dua. Because Allah azza wa jalla has made three types of people. One, they will commit sin and I will forgive them when they do tawbah. Right? So give them time. Number two is, there will be a person who's committed sin all his life. He will pass away in that state. However, he will leave behind children that will do istighfar for him so much, that will spread the word of God in the land so much, that because of that child of his, the father is forgiven. And there will be such a person. And then the third category is one type of person who will commit sin, who will pass away on that sin, and then it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the two positives are dominant. Yani the person who commits a sin and does tawbah, and the person who commits a sin passes away, and then his child does, he does has sadaqah jariya. So don't perform this dua. So this was another, you know, how much hatred he had against disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would perform and be, he'd have this certain state, you know, fana fillah, lost in the love and devotion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
We've got so much to cover, but I don't think we've got time to start. I mean, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, so much of our deen evolves around his actions and his teachings and everything else. And Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him so much. I mean, we just briefly alluded to the waqia when Nimrud throws them into the fire. We've got that to discuss. Then we've got the massive topic of Hajj to discuss.
There's a lot of stories of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Viewers of Madni Channel, today we've had an introduction to an amazing, magnificent messenger, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. You find his mention in most mainstream monotheistic religions, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, he's held in high esteem. This is izzat, rank and honor that Allah azza wa jalla has given him. And you know, when it came to the Hulya Mubarak, I mean, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, you know, him the honor of saying that, you know, if you want to see him, he was like me. Oh, what an amazing body he had. What an amazing Jihrai Mubarak he had. This was a truly an amazing prophet. We've got a lot to learn. And his story of his life, you just heard a few stories today, and I'm sure that you were very, your heart was warmed by them, and you fell in love with this amazing messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We're going to move to our second segment, Real Talk, inshallah. And time management is the topic we have today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
So, why is it that some people manage to achieve lots in their life, others don't manage to achieve much at all? Why is it that two people can start off in the same playing field in terms of finances, in terms of intellect, in terms of knowledge, and yet one person is strides ahead? He's doing well in business, he's doing well in knowledge, gaining knowledge, qualifications and everything else, and the other isn't. One person's life is a bliss. He manages to get everything in. He manages to get to the masjid for namaz. He manages to get, you know, read the Quran, learn the deen, spend time with his parents, spend time with his children, check the homeworks, do everything. And the other person is running from pillar to post and can't make heads or tails of anything. Why? Is it luck? Is it fortunate? Is it destiny? Or is it time management? That is the question today, Bisharat Bhai. Really, you know, this commodity. I remember in one of the salas of Amir al-Sunnah, there was mention of a king who was going past an orchard. And he saw somebody throwing something to get the fruit off the trees. And he called this poor man over and he said, come here. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just throwing these things at the trees to try and get the fruit off. He said, where did you get these stones from? He said, I picked them up from a quarry some miles away. He said, do you know what these are? He goes, they're priceless diamonds, and you've been just throwing them here, there, and everywhere. At that point, the kind of poor person couldn't believe it. He became very upset and regretted his actions. And what the scholars write is time is like that. Every moment is precious. But we kind of appreciate that. My question today to both of you is slightly different. Why is it, and how is it, that some people manage to turn seconds into minutes, and minutes into hours, and hours into days? They manage to cram so much in. And then you've got others who, if you looked at their life 10 years ago, it was exactly the same. They weren't achieving anything, they weren't doing anything. And you look at it now, they're still there. Their daily routine is full of 2 hours, 3 hours of social media, 2 or 3 hours of browsing, 2 or 3 hours of TV. I mean, what's the difference between these people?
I mean, if you look at our blessed personalities to begin with, like Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah ta'ala alayh, he valued his time. He became a Ghaus-e-Azam, rahmatullah ta'ala alayh. And then you look at Data Ali Ajveri, rahmatullah ta'ala alayh. And you look at, you know, blessed personalities, that they valued their time. And even hundreds of years later, we still remember them. And why? Because they valued their time. And they used their time in such a way that today, alhamdulillah, we benefit from the knowledge that they passed on. And not only that, the alhamdulillah azza wa jal, the areas in which they lived, alhamdulillah, today they've been transformed into areas where alhamdulillah people make special pilgrimage just to go and visit their blessed mausoleums, alhamdulillah azza wa jal.
I mean, you know, the glorious Quran says wal asr, you know, I swear by the time. And what Allah Hazrat writes is that why would Allah swear by time? Well, zamane mehboob ki qasam, the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is what is referred to here. Look at the love and the devotion and the intellect of Allah Hazrat is just amazing. Zamane mehboob ki qasam. But you know, time is important. Allah swears by this precious gift that people have been given, and it's time has been created by Allah. Now, what is our problem? I mean, why is it that some of us are able to manage time and others waste it?
So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. This ayat is very deep, that insan and jinn have not been created except to worship. Now, Imam Ghazali, he really goes deep into this ayat. You know, the entire thing is based around maqsad, purpose. Any purpose of life. What do you want to achieve from the life and the time you have? Life is time, isn't it? What do you want to achieve from that? You know, Rumbai, when we read any book in Dars-e-Nizamina, the Alim course, and I found it initially, you know, when we started Dars-e-Nizamina, I found this very unique. Because we obviously went to school and then college and then, you know, university. And never in the start of the book would they write the maqsad of the book, right? Or we would rarely ever go over that. But in Dars-e-Nizami, the scholars, they would write the definition of the science, then they'll write the explanation about that, where it came from, who wrote it first, then it'll tell you the reason why you're studying this, the maqsad why you're studying this, and it'll go into detail in our separate section of why you are studying this book. So now, so you learn the purpose behind reading the book, okay? And if the, you know, for example, if you pick up a book regarding how to become a successful businessman, you read the purpose. There's a purpose behind the book. Once you know the purpose, you will strive to achieve everything that's mentioned inside the book. Same way, our purpose is worship, right? I'm going to take it from this ayat and just trying to make, you know, open our minds into how we should focus on certain elements in life to achieve what we need to achieve. Our purpose, and I'm going to use the example of worshipping. Our purpose is worshipping in Islam. That's our maqsad, right, given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali says that everything else is a waste of time. So only anything that is worship is your maqsad, your purpose. Anything other than worship is not your maqsad, and that falls into lahav and laib. That falls into uselessness, wasting time. You're not playing, you're just playing, you're wasting your, like you said, your pearls, your
just got to pause there though. In the olden days, you had your main duties and your main hobbies, and then you had your lahav and laib, and you know, you had these things that you did in your spare time. But in today's society, this has taken center stage.
But you know, you said wal asr, and you reminded me, Imam Hussein, right, asks Hazrat Ali, his father, that, oh father, tell me, how was the Prophet ﷺ, how did he spend his time? How did the Prophet ﷺ spend his time? And Hazrat Ali says that he would spend, so he divide his day into three. The first part of his day was for the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And so that was the first one third of his day. The second third was for his family. For his family. So that included his children, grandchildren, his wives. And even Sahaba Ikram. Yeah, even the Sahaba Ikram, he would spend that with them. And the final third part was for his own himself. His own self, he would spend that on himself. The third part of the day he would spend on himself. So he had a certain, you could say, a jadwal, a timetable, right? A schedule that this needs to be devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this needs to be devoted to my family, okay? And then this and Sahaba Ikram, and then this needs to be devoted.
When it comes to time management, you've kind of gone to
that was
the
just a,
ultimate yeah. example. Yeah. Because if you look at the life of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, there has never been anybody to walk the surface of the earth who's managed their time better than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, how amazing is it that in every sphere of life...
If you look
life,
at Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years? 50 years.
Of Tabligh.
Tabligh, right? And then in the end, they had to get onto on an ark and migrate. Hmm. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 23 years.
Allah,
23 years and it is still increasing.
But if you want time management, you study the life and the seerat of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the ultimate example of time management. Because why do we value this commodity so much? I mean, what is it about time that's so important?
It seems like a statement, the iceberg of my life is melting away. You know, and if we look at it from that point of view, just reading earlier on regarding the similarity between age and ice. And Imam Fakhruddin Razi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he quotes a blessed saying, and he says that it's regarding a person who's repeatedly shouting in a marketplace, an ice seller who's repeatedly shouting in a marketplace, and he's saying that all people have mercy on the one whose capital is melting away.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
And Zairake, he knows that time is crucial because it's melting away. But unfortunately, you've got the opposite scale of that as well, that time's passing by, but we're not doing a lot with our time. And before our time ends, we need to look at the seriousness of it, that there is deceptions of the world as well. The dunya can take you away. Shiraz Bhai mentioned that, alhamdulillah, we were created to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and the Buzurgani Deen, how they used to divide their time. But sometimes it's we over-occupy ourselves doing more of these worldly things which deceive us, and before we know it, we've passed away.
You see, my trouble with this is this. In the olden days, you had people who lived very fruitful lives. They went to work, they went to the masjid, they read the Quran, they spent time with their family, they did everything else. And then they had a little bit of spare time as well for themselves, where they did, whatever they did. But in today's society, this is suddenly taken over. So you've got people who spend hours and hours and hours in front of the television. Their life is dominated. They're not achieving anything. And they are living in this deception. I mean, they're wasting their lives. Hadith Mubarakah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, value five things before five. The first, youth before old age. Now, if you're young, when you're, 70, 80, it's not easy to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to the masjid. But when you're 16, 17, 18, 19, up to 25, 35, 45, you can get up for Fajr and go to the masjid. So that is valuing youth before old age. That is, reading 1,000 nafil a night or reading extra namaza or keeping fasts. And yet we're young, why can't we? But we don't. Most of us can fast at least Mondays and Thursdays, 2 days a week. So we're healthy. Because it brings me neatly to my next one. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, value youth before old age, health before illness. Then wealth before poverty. Leisure time before you're busy. And life before death. Now, that one hadith of Mubarakah, if we took it on board, it would change our lives. If we look at what we're achieving with our time, what are we doing with our time? I mean, how much time do we waste, Bisharat Bhai, every day?
I mean, if you look at it from this point of view, that in this society, we do have the tools that we can utilize to assist us with time management. But unfortunately, we use them against that. So, for example, social media, you could utilize it to learn things like, alhamdulillah, you mentioned the TV earlier on. If you've got Madani channel on, you're learning something about the Blessed Deen. Mm-hmm. But then over-occupying yourself.
I see in our Madani environment in Dawat Islam, I see brothers who work full-time, who spend time with their children, who travel in the Madani kafilas, who are always there on the Thursdays, the Maaz, who are always there in the Madani mazakras. I mean, are they some sort of phenomena, or are they just, do they just manage their time better? Help me.
The Madani mazakra, Amir al-Sunnat, Rukneshura, one of the Rukneshuras, Haji Amin, he said that the Islamic sisters have presented some Isa al Sawab for you. So Amir al Sunnat, he used that example and he said, look at this example that there's Islamic sisters out there, they've got to run the house, cook food, look after the children, and they've got so many chores that a lot of their day is taken up in these chores. But there are those people as well that do the same chores, but also do the work of deen as well. Mm-hmm. And is taking that example from that as well. Alhamdulillah.
Imam Nawawi done so much work of Islam, right, in a very short period of time. He done hifz at a very young age. His father took him to madrasa. From there, he became one of the traditional, authentic scholars in Islam, one of the main ones. He's wrote commentaries of main hadith books. When he used to eat, right, he would, you get bread and you put it inside warm water. So you could have bread separately and you could drink the water separately, but that's going to take too much time, right? So he used to mix them together, leave it on the side. When it fully melts, he just quickly drink it, just to save time, so he could carry on studying.
Allah!
And writing. That was one. And number two, he'd never sleep. He would never sleep, like rarely, to a point where he was writing or reading, one of the two, and he was dozing away, right? He's tried to control it. He was writing and reading, dozing, and for a certain moment of time, he switched off and he did fall asleep in that state. And it was literally a few minutes. I mean, how much time does it take for you to sit in this position, doze off, and then realize you're falling asleep? It's a few moments, isn't it? Do you know the moments that he lost? He actually done tawbah for. He done tawbah for. And he passed away at the age of 40. And in that period of time, I think he went to madrasa at the age of 6 or 8. 6 or 8. From this age of 6 to 8, so 32 years, he done so much work of Islam. He done so much work, and this was because of his time management.
Time management is valuing time. Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh has changed the world single-handedly. And when you look at the life of Allah Hazrat, sleep was 4 hours, and rest of the time was spent. I remember reading that when the people came to him, when the British were leaving, and there was false translations of the Quran being circulated, And they came to Al-Azhar and said, right, we need time from you to do a translation of the glorious Quran. And he said, look, every minute of my day is gone. The only thing I've got is in the afternoon, I have a small siesta, and I can give you that. And then they used to come down, and he used to dictate the ayah, they used to read the ayah, he used to dictate the translation, and then the scholars used to go back and check and say, wow, he just dictated. We'd have to do research for a week to translate that, and he just dictated it. But that was the genius of Al-Azhar. Coming back to our point, though, point today is this. So many of us don't manage our time, and we waste so much time. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Shu'bul Iman, Hadith Mubarakah, the day makes the announcement daily at the time of sunrise. If you want to perform any good deed today, then do it, because I will never return. Now, how many, if we looked at our lives, Bisharabay, how many gaps do we have? What do we do? What do we achieve? Have we got anything to show for the last years? Most of us are sat in front of the television. How many hours have we wasted? How many days? How many years of our life?
I mean, muhasaba and asking yourself, and questioning yourself, what have I done in my life? There's going to be two aspects, isn't there? There's going to be, what have I done in my dunya? Yeah. If you've done education, depending on your age as well, educated yourself, you've married, you've got a family, you've got children, you're providing for them, you've got a house, you've got a car, you've got various things. And you could be in a stage in your life when Islamically, once you reach the age of 50 and over, you're officially into old age, and you could be thinking to yourself, what have I done for my deen though? And the last thing that you want is, ill health overtakes you. You mentioned good health before, having ill health. Before that overtakes you, turn towards your deen. Turn towards, for example, traveling on the Madani Kafilas. Recently, when we traveled on the Madani Kafila, some of the youngsters were there traveling for the first time. And I said, this is training for you when you travel on Hajj.
SubhanAllah.
The days when you're in Arafat, when you're in Muzdalifah, when you're in Mina. I go, a lot of people, what happens is when they're on this journey, they don't have a jadwal.
Mm-hmm.
I go, whereas you guys now, you know what your jadwal is, your schedule is. You wake up in the morning for tahajjud. Yeah. Then you stay awake doing zikr, askar, or reciting the Holy Quran. When Fajr time begins, you start preparing for Fajr. You offer your Fajr namaz. You've got these Madani Hilke straight after. Then what you're doing, zikr and askar, waiting for Ishraq and Chash, for sunrise. And throughout the entire day, you've spent all of your time doing something, yani learning or teaching. And by the end of the day, what happens is, again, the night time is, okay, this is your, we call it waqf-i-aram. But it's not waqf-i-aram, it's your individual study time again, and repeating it again the next day. And alhamdulillah, azawajal, this Madani Mahol gives you that sort of environment, that sort of, mindset
yeah.
That you're waking up, and how do you start your day with the worship of Allah?
My question is, Shahzai described the Madani environment of Dawat Islami and how it manages a jadwal. But Islam generally, does Islam not teach us the importance of every moment of the day? Isn't Islam all about time management?
So like the Prophet he says that barakat has been placed in the time after Fajr in my nation. So the barakat, yani if you are seeking knowledge or you in college, anything, whatever it is, dunyavi.
Seeking wealth,
business, trade, general, studying. After Fajr is the best time. So now here you've laid out like a structure, okay? Then after Zohar, so Islam has given us a method of life and basically pivoting around the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually, when you pray your five salah, and what we do it now is like kind of, we don't even realize that we do this. We say, okay, we're going to do this after Zohar, we're going to do this after Asr, okay, I could do that after Maghrib, the shop will still be open. Mm-hmm. So we base our life around salah, and we do that, we don't even realize. The person who doesn't pray salah, he doesn't have that aspect in his day, okay? He wouldn't even realize, okay, it's going to get dark out four, so I'm going to have to do this on Fajr time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We know what time Maghrib is. We know what time
is
going to get.
All this is time management, isn't it? Knowing what time Fajr is, the time that you've got to pray, knowing what time Zohar is, Maghrib, knowing that morning is important because Allah loves those who read the Quran in the morning, knowing that getting to your business early, it's all about time management. Islam teaches you that Jummah timing, Hajj is a time, Ramzan is time. whichever aspect of it's the deen you look at, it's time. And in actual fact, those who think time isn't important are actually kidding themselves, because their life a lot evolves around time. They get up at certain times, they attend all appointments, they attend everything else. The only thing they don't manage to do is actually find a management of time. And what the shaitan does is creates in them. See, if you don't manage time, what did the Buzurg say? That time is like a sword. If you don't cut through it, it will cut you down. And a lot of the regrets, or the main regret you will have when you get to your grave, is the lack of time management.
I mean, I've come across people who give advice in particular fields. And I remember one brother advising and saying, you know, when you go into this particular type of work, you've got to be switched on when the peak time arrives. And I was like, why? Because if you miss that peak time, that's where you're going to be earning majority of your money. So, you know, you need to be switched on. And, you know, this is that message today, that in terms of time, we need to be switched on, especially at the times of salah. Alhamdulillah, staying awake and offering your namaz. You know, alhamdulillah.
There's a hadith, right? Ni'matan maghbudun feehima kathirum minan nas.
Subhanallah.
As-sihatu wal faragha. That there are two blessings that are deceived. The two blessings that are deceived, it deceives many people from, There's two blessings that deceive many people. As-sihatu wal-faragha. Yani, the sihat is health, having good health, right? And faragha, having spare time, right? Yani, away from all your duties, you have a certain amount of time. So, you know, you'll have a group of people that will have loads of time, that don't have health. Yani, they can't walk, they're disabled, they can't speak, or whatever it is. But they have all the time in the world. Or you'd have that person who has health, right? He has his health, but he's got no spare time. You're on one end of the spectrum. But the common one is you have time and you have health, but you deceive it. You have time, you have health, you end up, you fall into deception yourself, and you don't make the most of it. The Prophet ﷺ, he says that the best person is the one who has a long life, وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ, and his actions are beautiful. So this is the best. So now you've got two hadiths. One is that, two blessings that they don't normally come together, but when they do, make the most out of them, in summary. Sihat wal faragha, this is basically abused. No one uses this. This is a blessing that no one uses. And the best type of person is the one who has a long life and uses that life in doing good deeds, not bad deeds.
Subhanallah.
I mean, time management though, a lot of us have time to do a lot of things. There are online courses, there are books to read. Now, you know, predicting the future, a lot of people think you can't predict the future, but you can, can't you? Say, for example, I wanted to predict that I can read a 500-page book in 50 days. Yeah? That's a prediction I make. Now, if I, every night, read 10 pages, in 50 days, how many have I read? 500?
Yeah.
I've predicted I'm going to finish that book, but I've implemented it as well. Yeah? What a lot of us do is we look at, you know, Bisharat Bhai or Shiraz Bhai, and think, he's a Jamia student, yeah? You know, is Kismet Chengizi, he became a Jamia student, yeah? But hang on a minute, okay, no doubt we believe in destiny. But what about all the hours that he put in? Yes. The days and nights travelling from home, going to Bradford, living there. He's a millionaire, Kismet Chengizi, he got lucky. But what about the hours he spent working? Yes. What are the hours about, you know, for halal and haram? What about this? Why do we put it down to Kismet rather than hard work? Time management. Because if you manage your time wisely, say for example, I'll give you an example. We give two of you 10 kilos of gold each. Yeah? One of you goes and buries it in the ground and thinks, right, that's the next 2 years taken care of. Every day I'll go get a piece of gold, I'll go sell it, and I'll go get a takeaway, I'll chill out with the boys, and I'll do everything else. And you go and invest it. You buy properties, you do halal earnings, but you invest it and you grow it and grow it and grow it. In a year's time, he's run out now. He's going digging up the soil thinking, is there anything left? Any little piece of gold left? And he isn't, so he's in despair. And yet you're a millionaire. And then if he turns around and says to you,
I mean, it goes back right to the beginning of this particular segment where you talked about the person who's throwing them priceless diamonds.
Priceless diamonds?
Because we didn't do the qadr, we didn't understand, or we didn't learn about what we found, what we have. Unfortunately, we'd be in despair.
Do you know?
But in the grave.
Yeah, exactly. In the grave, the one khwaish you will have, the desire, is that I go back and let me perform a tasbih at least.
Allah.
You know, tasbih takes literally a moment. It doesn't even take a second. Subhanallah, it takes probably half a second. Not a second, let's call it a second. Eh? You know, these seconds are just, I think, 86,000 in a day. 86,000 seconds in a day. I think that's the one.
I've just learned something new.
I think it's 86,000. It might be 86,000 minutes, I can't remember. So now, these seconds just pass by, right? And every morning the sun rises, then it sets, the moon comes out, the star comes 86,400. Every day the sun rises and then it sets, the moon comes out, stars come out. And this has been happening from day one up until the end of times. And everyone gets them seconds. Right? Everyone gets them seconds and they just tick. And so many seconds go past. I remember I was in a qafla once, right? This is when I was new to the mahal. And I think we missed Chashti Shiraq for some reason.
Breakfast?
I don't know what it was. Yeah, maybe we took time in breakfast. Wallahu alam. And Abne Tafiq bhai, he came up to us and he says, did you reach Chashti Shiraq? I said, I can't remember what the reason was. I replied, I'm already. He said, look, you know, that Chashti and Shiraq time will never ever come back.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
It's gone. Tomorrow it'll come, yeah, but that's separate. That, you know, Allah Hazrat, right? Imam Ahmed Raza Khan, in a certain period of his life, he was ill, right? So ill, and plus the days where he was living, the sunset took some time. And now he was in such a situation where he did not have to fast, right? But he took himself, he transported, he got people to take him to another place where the sun sets earlier, right? So he could keep his fasts. Why? Remember, the Prophet ﷺ says that the fast you missed one fast you missed of Ramadan, you make them up in the other days outside of Ramadan for the rest of your life, you will not make up that reward that you have missed.
Allah.
You will not make up that reward you have missed. There was a buzurg. So Ala Hazrat, he did not want to miss a fast, even though he could make them up later on in the winter. There was a buzurg, he was seen. There was a student. He was seen reading the same salah. Was it, I think, 70 times or 25 times? And he says to him that, you know, why are you reading the same salah 25 times? He says that I've missed Jamaat, and the reward of Jamaat is 25 times more, 70 times more. He says to him, but what about the Ameen? What about the Ameen of the Jamaat?
Allah.
You will never get that. Yani, so point is that the time that has gone is gone. You're never gonna get that back. Whilst you have that time, the opportunity, do it now. Don't save it for tomorrow.
Viewers of Madni Channel, time is very important. As Shirazwa very beautifully said there, it reminded me of something that I listened to once. Once you do a sin, the pleasure of it disappears, but the sin is written in your book of deeds, and it will stay there through your grave, the day of judgment. And could be very, very important when your accountability comes. If you do a good deed, the hard work, the striving that you do goes away. Ease comes, but the good deed remains in your book of deeds. Time is very precious. Today we waste so much time. Time will never come back. In this world we regret it. We see others achieving, but what are we doing? Have we ever thought that my life is going by? I haven't read the translation of the Quran. My life is going by. I've not read the commentary of the Quran. Kanzul Iman, Siratul Jinan, I've got all these books that I could read. Even if I read a few pages a day, I would achieve something. What have I achieved in the last year? Have I improved my life? Am I attending the Madni environment of Dawat Islami? Am I going to the Ijtimaz? Am I watching the Madni Muzakras? Why can't I go on the Madni Kaflas and learn something? When are we going to change our life? We've got time for everything else, but we've not got time for the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've not got time to improve ourselves, to better ourselves. We've not got time for the right things. We make time for all the wrong things. Therein lies the problem. try and change, try and manage your time. Why? Because as Shiraz Bey said, the biggest regret we'll have is time management. You know, on the Day of Judgment, like in the world, you see these people who work hard day and night and they achieve big business, and you look up and think, he's done fantastically well. This is just worldly. This will finish. But on the Day of Judgment, when you see great scholars and great people and being given the orders to go to Jannah with the fazil of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they think they spent that time wisely, you will regret the time that you spent wasting on social media, on television, and on things that weren't going to benefit you. Use your time wisely. And the way to do that is just to start with little. Try and pray your salah in the masjid. Try and read the Quran every day. Try and serve your parents for 12 minutes every day. Try and do little things and gradually build them up. May Allah give you the ability to manage time. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
We're late again for Madni Recharge, but I've got a very short but beautiful hadith mubarakah for you. There was a companion of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was describing something, and he said that, you know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this and said this, and then Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used their fingers and their hand mubarak to show how many, whether it was three or four. And then when he held his hand up, suddenly tears came to his eyes, and he said to the people in front of him, but by the way, that's what Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. But that hand mubarak wasn't like this hand. This hand is nothing. That hand was very beautiful. Views of Madni Channel, that is amazing love. That when he's saying something, the point was that the point he was making, that the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. When he held his hand up, he wanted the world to know that his hand was just a normal hand. But the hand of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the hand of Noor, the hand of blessings, the hand of Barakat, the Savior, the hand of Rahmatul Lil Alameen. This is how amazing Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. This was the love that the Sahaba Ikram had. Today, we need to learn more about our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you love somebody, you want to know everything about them. You want to copy them. You want to spend your life in obedience and love of them. There is nobody more beautiful than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody has better habits than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody has better looks than Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have been truly blessed with being the devotees of the best of creation. Let's fulfill that by learning more about our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, doing things that please Allah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.